Okay. I'd like to continue on with our afternoon schedule. Very honored to welcome back State National. They were one of the companies I spoke of earlier today that was gracious enough last year to present towards the end of day two schedule, and I'm living up to my commitment by giving them a better spot today, this year. Obviously, their presentation slot last year didn't affect their stock price. I think the stock was up 41% in 2016.
That's a... Woo!
Okay. They have a lot to live up to now. So there's some added pressure for you. So day one means it's going to be double that. Is that right? We're welcome. You know, pleased to have him back. Matt Freeman is the president. We have David Hale, who's chief financial officer and chief operating officer, and Rick Black, who serves in their investor relations capacity. So why don't I turn over to you, Matt?
Sure.
Oh, David.
David's here. Sorry.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you folks, and I agree. I think noon today is a lot better time slot, so unfortunately, you guys will probably be paying a little bit more attention to us than what we saw last year, but I'm honored to be here, so thank you very much. I'll start out with the obligatory forward-looking statements. Be sure to read page two of our presentation. It's just talks about the fact that we can't be held responsible for our forward-looking comments, and also we have some non-GAAP financial measures in our presentation, and in the presentation we have those attached in an appendix. I want to start out by talking a little bit about our differentiated risk platform solution. State National writes business in two distinct segments. We have favorable industry trends in both of those segments. In lender services, we write primarily collateral protection insurance for financial institutions. And then in the program services, that's primarily fronting for various programs and capacity providers. I want to point out that 70% of our earnings come from fees. The program services business is a fee-based business. We retain zero underwriting risk in that line of business. We are AM Best rated A. We have five carriers that are all A rated. Three of them are admitted companies, and two of them are surplus lines companies. We've been, our primary operating companies have been A rated since 1993, and we've had many decades of proven results. Our capital base is strong with limited underwriting exposure. As I mentioned, program services is a 100% quota share fronting operation, and lender services has business that's short-tailed, low limits, and limited exposure to catastrophes. We operate a very capital-efficient business model. One of the reasons we're able to operate with efficient capital is that we have convinced AM Best over the years that our model has very little risk. As I mentioned before, we cede 100% of the premiums for our program business, and the lender services business is low volatility. So that ability to leverage our capital results in high ROEs. In 2016, that's a 17.5% ROE. Our premium leverage is about four times the industry at 5.5 times surplus, while the P&C industry generally operates at about a 1.4 times. The loss ratio in the lender services is stable. Our combined ratio was about 84% in 2016. One of the things we're very proud of, we've been writing program business since 1979. And we, in that time, we've ceded over $13 billion of premium. We've never had a reinsurance recoverable loss. In fact, we've never had a reinsurance recoverable dispute. So we attribute that to the quality of our contracts, the fact that our reinsurers know specifically what risks they're taking, and there's no ambiguity in those contracts. Among our competitive strengths, as I mentioned before, our rating, our AM Best rating, allows us to write business that is rating sensitive. We also are licensed or admitted or in 50 states for all five of our companies. We have a strong capital base with limited underwriting exposure. We have a number of long-term relationships on both the program side of the business as well as on the lender services side of the business. We think that there are favorable industry trends favoring both lines of business. In the program services segment, we have alternative capital, which is compressing the rates in the reinsurance markets. This is pushing the traditional reinsurers to want to take primary risk. We're an excellent vehicle for them to do that. Additionally, in the lender services side of the business, we have favorable trends in that automobile sales remain strong. Credit unions, which about 93% of our lender services business is written through credit unions. Credit unions are seeing growth both in the size of the balances on their auto portfolios as well as the number of loans in their loan portfolios. So we feel like those favorable growth trends will continue in the near term. Our management team has been with the company a number of years. Our top-tier management as well as our second-tier management has a lot of continuity. Our financial results have been excellent. Greg mentioned the success of our stock price in the last year. I think some of that can be attributed to investor recognition of our results over time as we went public in the 2014 timeframe. And as we've had more results over that time, I think that the investor community is starting to recognize the value of our company. Gross written premium since 2013 has grown from $810 million to $1,463,000,000. Our ROE in that time frame has gone from about 15% to 17.5% in 2016. Our adjusted EBITDA has grown from $42.7 million to $83.2 million in that same time frame, with adjusted EPS going from 72 cents a share to approximately 116 cents per share. So we feel like the growth has been phenomenal, and we think that we're well positioned for additional growth going forward. As I mentioned before, we operate two specialty risk management segments. As I said before, program business is fee-based fronting. We provide services to general agents, insurance carriers, and other capacity providers. And Matt will talk a little bit more about that as we go forward. Lender Services provides protection to auto lenders when borrowers fail to maintain adequate automobile insurance. I think I have a quick...
go to the bottom.
A little bit of the video that kind of explains the Lender Services collateral protection model.
When car buyers take out an auto loan, they agree to keep the vehicle insured with a policy that also protects the lender. In some cases, borrowers let their auto insurance policies lapse. This leaves lenders with a risk of loss should the collateral be damaged. Fortunately, our lender clients can transfer this risk to State National through CPI, or Collateral Protection Insurance. So, how does CPI work? CPI is similar to other insurance. Policies are issued and claims are paid for covered losses, but there are some big differences. The first is that CPI is provided for borrowers who do not maintain the private insurance that they agreed to have at loan origination for the life of the loan. Our lender clients determine the criteria for when CPI is utilized, advance the premiums to us, and pass the cost back to the borrowers who need the insurance coverage. Issuance of CPI is guaranteed by State National. There is no individual borrower underwriting. The cost of the CPI is typically based on loan balance. Also, there is no liability coverage for the borrower. To ensure minimal impact on our clients' customers, accurate insurance tracking by us is essential. Information detailing a borrower's private insurance must be obtained from other insurance carriers and kept current for the entire life of the loan to administer the program effectively. A CPI program protects loan collateral and creates other benefits for the lending institution. All loans are monitored by State National, and only underinsured borrowers utilize the insurance coverage, ensuring fairness. And since CPI transfers the risk of loss to State National, charge-offs are reduced. Our clients can be more competitive, knowing that risks are being managed appropriately. As a leading provider of collateral protection solutions, State National tracks over 6 million auto loans on behalf of over 600 lending institutions. We are State National.
That kind of gives you in a nutshell what the basic product is. As the video indicated, we provide coverage to the financial institution in the event that the borrower doesn't maintain adequate insurance coverage and, in fact, defaults on their loan. So the first thing we do is to track the automobile insurance coverage. We have proprietary systems that we've developed over a number of years that allow us to do that efficiently. We think that's one of the barriers to entry in lender services. We think that our systems are both efficient for us as well as the financial institutions that do business with us. This is an interesting insurance product in that the purchaser of the insurance is not really the person that pays for the insurance. In this case, the financial institution pays State National premiums associated with it, but then they add that premium to the loan of the borrower, and the borrower, through increased payments, pays back the premium. We pay claims to the lender, generally in the case when the loan is repossessed and it has physical damage. As I mentioned before, I think the macroeconomic trends are favorable for lender services. You can see the estimated U.S. annual new auto sales is at 17.1 million units, which I think compares favorably to what those sales have been in the last two or three years. Certainly not the high point, but up there close to the top. The auto fleet continues to age. I think the average age of a car on the road is over 11 years. Credit unions are the fastest growing automobile lending segment, and we're benefiting from that as about 93% of our portfolio consists of credit union loans. The average loan balances have grown in 2016, as well as the total loans in the portfolios are growing. So all those factors are leading to positive trends for lender services. Our combined ratio for the year, we finished the year at under 85% combined. We're a market leader. We think we have, with a couple of competitors, we have the lion's share of the collateral protection market. We've been in the business since 73, so we have a strong industry reputation. We have our AM Best rating. We have a distribution arrangement with CUNA Mutual. They're a large mutual company serving the credit union industry. They have a sales force consisting of over 200 salesmen. They have product in approximately 97% of the credit unions. And so we were able to get a warm introduction into most credit unions. We are aware of most instances where collateral protection is, a financial institution is looking to change their collateral protection provider. As I mentioned before, our technology-driven insurance tracking system is state-of-the-art. Our strengths as a leading provider, we're vertically integrated. Most of our competitors are agencies. We are the agency as well as the insurance company. We have diverse clients, geographic exposure. We ride in almost all 50 states. We have over 600 customers, and we track over 6.4 million loans. As I mentioned before, we do have two primary competitors. With that, I'll turn it over to Matt to talk about program services as well as kind of our investment thesis.
Thanks, David. As you heard from David, certainly that lender services business is a little bit unique in the industry, as is our program services business. So before we get into the details on program, we thought we'd play a little video similar to how we did for the lender side to give you a better sense for how the business works.
In a traditional insurance distribution model, agents sell policies on behalf of insurance carriers. The policyholder receives insurance coverage, the agent is paid a commission, and claims are paid by the carrier. However, in some situations, an insurance carrier may want access to additional licensed products, as insurance in the U.S. is regulated at the state level, or the carrier may not have a certain rating from one of the industry rating agencies, like AM Best, which inhibits the carrier's ability to sell policies. State National solves this problem for carriers in these situations through a fronting solution. So, what is fronting? It's actually quite simple. State National writes the insurance policies on behalf of the carrier. Our paper is A-rated by AM Best, and we are licensed in all 50 states. Through our arrangement with the carrier, virtually 100% of the insurance risk is transferred back to the carrier. As a result, State National receives a fee known as a ceding fee. The insured receives desired coverage, and the carrier supports the business. Everybody wins. But there are additional ways fronting can be beneficial. State National also works with managing general agencies, or MGAs, and program managers who want to have more control over the insurance products they distribute, along with increased flexibility, enhanced access to risk takers, and compressed time to market. By partnering with State National, the program managers and MGAs not only have more control, but also benefit from a more stable business model, where multiple risk takers are efficiently able to support the business on an ongoing basis. In other words, the fronting arrangement helps solve the traditional problem that carriers create when they go in and out of certain markets. So, how do the economics work? By eliminating carrier overhead and administrative costs that burden a traditional MGA carrier relationship, the State National model can offer additional profits to be shared between the ultimate risk taker and the MGA program manager. In other cases, capacity providers, reinsurance companies, and alternative capital investors, for example, hedge funds, may want access to primary insurance risks, which is the layer of risk that traditional carriers write. However, these capacity providers typically need the support of a broadly licensed and highly rated carrier experienced with this unique business model. Here again, State National's fronting solutions solve the challenges. Business is written on State National paper. The insurance risk is transferred virtually 100% to the ultimate capacity providers. And again, State National is paid a fee to utilize its balance sheet and effectively manage the process. You might be asking yourself, why would alternative capital sources want to fund these insurance transactions? And how do the economics work? For one, property catastrophe exposure is considered an uncorrelated risk in terms of an investable asset class. This means if a hurricane strikes Florida and causes damage, it is unlikely to have a major impact on the stock market, thus a relatively new investment asset class without broad market correlation. Additionally, many of these alternative capital sources are more efficiently structured than traditional carriers, with the ability to deliver flexible investment strategies, diversified return, and higher investment yields. The good news for State National is that alternative capital in the insurance industry is continuing its aggressive growth, and its growth is expected to continue significantly outpacing the traditional reinsurance industry. As the leading pure play provider of fronting solutions for nearly 30 years, State National is poised to grow as the market for fronting solutions continues to gain momentum. We are State National.
Well, I hope that provides a little bit of an overview of kind of how the unique business model works. But I guess to clarify a little bit more precisely, in each transaction that we're a party to, we've got kind of distribution or general agents on one side and reinsurers or capacity providers on the other. And we're working to facilitate those transactions in a new way. Premium and claim payments, this is important to note, are directly linked between those agents producing the business on the front end and the reinsurers are capacity providers on the back end. We ultimately, for our services, receive a ceding fee in the transaction and then ultimately cede virtually all of the insurance risk out to those capacity providers. We have effectively, with our business model, turned the traditional insurance model a little bit on its head. Whereas most insurance companies spend the majority of their time focusing on the traditional underwriting risk element of the transaction, we shift the majority of our focus towards the credit underwriting side of the equation and ensuring that the counterparties are effective and that the solution remains very successful. As David noted earlier in the conversation, over the years, we've ceded in excess of $13 billion at this point without any reinsurance recoverable losses, which we think does speak pretty strongly to our proprietary underwriting credit review process. You'll note on the chart here, we do have very sizable collateral balances related to our transactions, certainly with a greater degree of collateral directly from those with slightly lower ratings. And if you think about the value proposition that we bring to the market, it differs depending on what type of provider you are in the value chain. On the distribution side, our solution can help bring speed to market advantages, flexibility, and program portability that might not exist in a traditional program carrier relationship. On the capacity side of the equation, we can provide access to primary risks that might not otherwise be accessible to those capacity providers. Certainly, our A rating that we've had for several decades suggests the strength with which we're able to manage this business, and our broad licensing allows us to transact business very broadly throughout the U.S. When we think about the macroeconomics affecting this business, a component here is the growth in alternative capital throughout the industry. The dark blue segments of this bar chart here represent what's gone on in the alternative capital arena. As that capital has grown over the years, it's certainly been an influencing factor that's been depressing rates in the reinsurance arena and causing capacity providers to look for alternate opportunities to increase yield and take additional risk. One way in which that's exhibiting itself is by having some of those reinsurers migrate towards the primary side of the insurance spectrum, which is something that we're uniquely suited to help assist with those transactions. As that growth continues in that space, we expect to see increasing opportunity throughout the marketplace. We are a market leader in this space. We do like to think that we were the first and major professional player in this arena today. We do have decades of experience and discipline that has allowed this business model to be very successful for us, with effective collateralization policies, which help support that. We continue to be the leading provider in the fronting solution market. This is the business line that drives the fee-based revenue nature of our business model. And one of the key reasons that we're able to be as successful as we are is the ability to write at a gross premium leverage that is substantially above that of the rest of the P&C industry. We do have some competition in this space, but it is fairly limited. There are some newer, younger companies in the arena, but not ones that can replicate the experience and history that State National has been able to bring to the marketplace over the decades. So on the left-hand side of the chart here, you can see the growth rates we've seen on the ceding fees from our program services business. A very healthy and strong growth rate on the ceding fees. That represents a bit north of 70% of our income combined for the company. On the right-hand side, you can see the net earned premium growth trend relative to the lender services business, also substantial, but in a more mature industry and certainly a little and somewhat lower than what you see on the program services side. But as you can tell, over several year period, both businesses in their own space are leaders and have created very attractive growth trajectories. When we think about the investment thesis from an overall standpoint for State National companies, certainly I think our proven results speak for themselves. The growth rate, the earnings growth rate combined overall has been extraordinarily attractive over the past several years, and you note the data points there recently. We do have a very highly capital efficient business model. While we are an insurance company, 70% of our income is generated by fee-based revenue streams rather than underwriting risk-taking revenue streams, and we are producing very high ROE performance. The industry trends in both segments of business, although both segments are quite different from one another, the trends are quite positive in each, and we expect the recent successes we've seen to continue going forward. And we continue to have what we believe to be is an attractive valuation in the marketplace. It is a bit of a unique story, as I think you've seen both from our conversation and from the overview videos we've provided. What makes that a little bit difficult from a valuation standpoint is we really don't have direct public comps for this business. They are two very distinct business units. The program business, the program services side of the business, compares somewhat similarly to the insurance brokerage arena, where it is overwhelmingly fee-based and facilitation of transaction-oriented. On the lender services side, the closest comparable is probably in the non-standard auto arena. And you'll note the data points there highlighting kind of some of the valuations of those two components independently. We do think as we look forward in both businesses, we expect to maintain a market leadership position. We do think that each have unique, distinct competitive advantages. And I think our tenure and experience on both sides of the equation really lend itself to success as we continue to move forward. The barriers to entry that exist on both sides, while there is competition, we are in each business out in front of the pack or one of the leaders in the space. And we like to think that we've been a trendsetter and an innovator in the space over several cycles and expect that to continue. We are seeing positive industry trends from a macroeconomic standpoint. Our financial leverage and financial performance is quite attractive. We don't see any change on that in the near future. And as David alluded to early on, we have a very tenured management team in the organization that is well prepared for what we see in front of us in the business landscape. We do note here our outlook that we've shared for our 2017 EPS guidance in the range of $1.13 to $1.21. And with our few minutes we're remaining, we'd be happy to take some questions if you guys have any.
Your fronting business had a CAGR of 31% over the past few years. Can you talk a bit about what's leading that? Given that you've been in this business for, I think you said 30 years, what's driving the huge growth in the fronting business?
Yeah, so I think it's a combination of factors. I think that the fronting model itself is becoming more attractive. I think that we've had existing clients that have continued to grow with us over time. And we've, over the past few years, invested more heavily in a direct business development outreach program, which is generating additional opportunity. I think the combination of all those factors has produced some attractive results.
Hi. Can you explain exactly how the collateral works? I mean, what type of collateral are you taking and what percentage of the transaction? And are all your program transactions collateralized, or sometimes you take the risk of the capital provider? Let's put it this way.
It actually varies. Generally speaking, if a company is A-minus rated and has $300 million in capital and surplus, we will front to that company without taking collateral. If we do, there will be triggers in the contracts that say if they get downgraded, if their capital decreases by 10%, if they fail to maintain adequate reinsurance covers to the extent that's important, then we will require collateral. The type of collateral is generally SVO1 or investment grade fixed income securities. We hold those in trust accounts to our benefit. The investment income goes to the reinsurance company, but they don't have access to those funds unless we release them.
And one other quick question. If the level of rates continues to increase, what will be the effect on your programs, if any? The level of interest rates.
I don't really see a huge increase. I mean, I'm sorry, a huge correlation between what happens in our program business and or lender services and the interest rate environment.
Could you let us know of the 6.4 million loans that you follow, how many of those are loans that you actually have a relationship in the fronting business? And could you give us a sense of the market share? I mean, I'm assuming roughly there's a three-year auto loan, so it's roughly 50 million loans outstanding, so you would have a 12% share. Could you give us a sense of that?
Okay, so if I understood the question correctly, it was talking about the 6.4 million loans, and you were.
So, out of that, how many do you have a relationship with? How many do you provide?
Provide insurance products. Yes. So, at any given time, the number of those loans that are going to need insurance coverage is a fairly small percentage. The penetration rate that we've seen recently is in the a little bit north of a percent. I'm sorry, you had a second part to the question, too.
I was just trying to get a sense of market share that you have of that market.
So on the lender services business, we're one of several competitors in the space. There are arguably three of us that are each kind of major competitors in the space and all have a roughly equal market share at the upper end of the spectrum. So that is a very competitive and mature market.
Right here. Thank you for taking my question. I'll take a follow on the interest rate question. It sounds like the alternative capital is chasing yield, if you will, in this low interest rate environment. And if you believe interest rates rise, will the alternative capital look elsewhere? Maybe a better question would be, you know, roughly what type of yields or returns does alternative capital get through you guys?
I don't think I'll attempt to comment on the individual views of the alternative capital investors and how they choose to allocate their investable assets. What I will say is that there seems to be a growing opportunity for new fronting solutions in business, and alternative capital is a large driver of it, not the only driver. Certainly, as funds continue to flow into the industry, it will look for a home in where it wants to invest. And to David's point earlier, I'm not sure that, you know, we don't see a tremendous correlation in the interest rate environment and the appetite or desire to explore opportunities of a fronted nature. Certainly, certain alternative investors will feel differently from time to time. But we've seen a lot of growth in interest in the space, and we expect that to continue.
Is it a fair statement in terms of the potential for new entrants into your market that a major barrier is financial? In other words, it's going to take them a while to get a rating. In the meantime, they're going to have trapped capital to a certain extent. Is that a fair statement?
I do think it is challenging for a new entrant to be able to compete directly. One of the things that we've earned over a long period of time is the ability to ride at the leverage ratios that we have, and that's not likely to be replicated overnight. And we do think that gives us an opportunity to continue our kind of successful trajectory thus far.
Okay. Well, we've hit the time stop mark, so thank you very much for your presentation, and hopefully you'll be up another 41%.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.